God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. We live in a world today that has taken this season and has twisted and twisted and turned it and shaped it into something that you and I, as Christ-fearing believers, can hardly even recognize anymore. You know, the world loves the gifts, though, and they love the joy that comes with the gifts that the world gives to one another. You see, they didn't want to lose that. It was the Christ that they wanted to get rid of. And so now it's no longer called Christmas, it's just the holiday season. Well, you'll see the signs on the windows with an X and a little miss behind it, because they like the feeling that the season brings, but the responsibility to recognize the Christ in the season is beyond anything that they want to handle in their own life. You see, they want the peace, but they don't want the Christ. They want the goodwill towards men, but they don't want the Christ. They want the spirit of gift, but they don't want the Christ. They want the joy, but they don't want the Christ. They want the love, but they don't want the Christ. They want the kindness, but they don't want the Christ. But I'm glad I'm among a group of men and women today that says, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You see, when you really understand the spirit of the reason for the season, then you stand up and say, if I don't get the gift, I still want the Christ. If I don't get the joy, I still want the Christ. If I don't get the kindness, I still want the Christ. If the other things never come, give me Jesus. I must have the Christ. But the Lord came into this world, the Bible tells us in the writings of Paul, bearing gifts unto men. He came to give you and I things that we would need if we were going to make it in this world, if we were going to have any kind of a life of peace and joy at all. These are things that we would need. However, first and foremost, the most powerful scripture, the one that is used so often amongst all Christianity, even though most of them do not fully comprehend its meaning, John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Everybody say he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, sir, ma'am, the main reason why Jesus Christ came to this world is to be your Savior. And you may ask yourself the question, do I need a Savior? Oh, yes, sir, you do. Yes, ma'am, you do. You see, you cannot redeem yourself because your blood is corrupt. You cannot redeem yourself because your righteousness is as filthy rags. You cannot redeem yourself because your kindness has a foundation of pride. Only Christ can come into your life and redeem you and lift you up out of a life of despair and bring you true peace and true tranquility in a world of corruption and pain. Oh, somebody praise him. He's my Savior. Somebody shouted, he's my Savior. Shouted, he's my Savior. You see, before he's your healer, before he's your provider, before he's your comfort, before he's your joy, he must be your Savior. Why do you need a Savior? You need a Savior because you're lost.
Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11 says, for the Son of Man is come. Why did he come into this world? To be your Savior. Why did he come into this world? To find you. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And you say, sir, why am I lost? We're lost because we're sinners. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners. And Paul the apostle said, of whom I am the chief. Look at John 4 and 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be a propitiation for what? For our sins. I've got good news today. The Christ has come. He did. He came. And he came to be a Savior. And he came to save you from your sins. He'll take your sins upon him. And you can leave here today redeemed by the blood of the Christ. Oh, there ought to be a little bit more excitement going on right now. I don't know about you, but he's my Savior. I don't know about you, but he took my sins. He took them all away. Somebody say, Christ is a Savior. Say, Christ found me. And I want to tell you the beautiful thing about this Christ. You know, he was a king. He came out of the celestial. He came down here into the terrestrial. He came out of the beauty and came to the ugly. He left royalty and came to the peasants. Yet when he came, the word of the Lord tells us in Matthew 20 and 28, even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for a ransom for many. You see, the reason why he came, sir, was not for us to minister to him, but it was you that needed ministering to. And he's here today. I feel his power. I feel his presence. He has come here today to heal that broken heart, to touch that wounded spirit. This season of the year, the Bible tells us that the suicide rate goes higher this time of the year than any other time or any other season. Why, Lord, why? I'll tell you why. They took the Christ out of Christmas. And when you take the Christ out of Christmas, all you have is sadness, brokenness. All you have is ruined lives. My God, have mercy. Get Jesus back in your Christmas. Get the Christ back in your Christmas. He'll touch your heart. He'll heal your wound. He'll get in your spirit. He'll make you whole. He is the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer. He's the Redeemer. He's come to minister. He'll minister to you right now. Oh, let's take out a moment. Lift your hands. Whoever you are, man, woman, child, son, daughter, mom, dad, lift your hands to the Lord. He'll minister to you right now. He'll minister to you. Let him do it. I feel his power. I feel his glory. The Christ is in this place. He's come to heal. He's come to minister. He's come to bless. He'll put happiness with there is sadness. He'll encourage you where you're discouraged. He'll lift you up where you've been knocked down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, this is what Christmas is all about. It's not what the world has turned it into. It's about a Christ. A Christ that came into a world to find the brokenhearted, to find the lost, to get his hands on the hand of the one who's wandering in sin and not knowing what direction, where to go, or how to do it. He'll lead you out of darkness into light. It's what Christmas is all about. John 3:17, I want to give you some good news. He came not to condemn you. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, he's not here to condemn you. He's not here to remind you of your sins. You already know what they are. He hasn't come here to make some list of your wrong deeds or your wrong thoughts or your wrong actions or words. He hasn't come to stand you before some list of horrible things that you have done. That's not the Christ that I serve. He walks up, puts his arm around you, pulls you in tight. And you might want to open up your mouth and say, "Lord, I did." And he'll say, "I know, I know. I'm not here to remind you of that. I'm here to tell you I love you. I'm here to tell you I came to minister to you. I'm here to tell you I died on the cross. I shed my blood for you. I come to wash your sins away." That's why he's here for you today. Not to condemn you, not to make you feel bad. Friend, let me tell you, if you're condemned, then you're feeling the wrong spirit. Now, you might be convicted because he will convict you of your sin, but conviction will bring you to the Christ. Condemnation will push you away, because condemnation will tell you you're not worthy to be in his presence. None of us are worthy to be in his presence. That's what makes this so awesome. His blood has made us worthy. His coming has made us worthy. He hasn't come to judge you, to condemn you. He has not come to judge you. Look at John 12 and 47. "And then if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to judge you. He didn't come to destroy you. Luke 9, 56. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Woo! And they went unto another village. Why? Because he had to keep going. He had a lot of people to touch. And he's here today. He hasn't come to destroy you. He hasn't come to judge you. He hasn't come to condemn you. He's come to give you life, and life that much more abundantly. He's come to bring you up, not push you down. He's come to open your eyes, not blind you. That is the Christ in Christmas. It's what he'll do for you if you'll let him. If you'll let him. If you'll let him. It's what he'll do. You see, God does not just want us to exist. He wants us to exist in him. He wants us to be alive and to have purpose in our life. 1 John 4:9. "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." But watch this, not just live. John 10:10. "The thief cometh but to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." He doesn't only want you to live, he wants you to know what life is all about. And until you get Christ in your heart, you're not living, you're just existing. But when God comes in, true meaning to life comes alive in your heart. Then you begin to understand and realize why you were born, why you came. You have a purpose. God has a path. God has a path for your life. Things he wants you to do and accomplish that will bring glory to the kingdom of God. And he's got it for each and every one of us. God has a purpose in your life. If you'll let him come. He come to shine the light. John 12 and 46. All of these scriptures telling us why he came. He come to shine a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me, he said, should not abide in darkness. I think the greatest thing that he brought, John 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." Look at the words of Jesus To this end was I born. For this reason did I come. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In verse 38, the first few words, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Luke chapter 12 and verse 49, we're going to bring this to a close. And this is why we're going to take communion, because we realize his birth was all about his death. And everything that he brought into this world when he came, that men might receive. I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. Please don't think Pastor rude or ugly, or however you may interpret it. But I'm going to tell you, we live in a religious world today who robs men and women of the gifts of God. Instead of proclaiming that you can receive this from Christ, they tell men and women, no, it's not for us today. That was back then. Friend, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ, the same. Jesus Christ, the same. He doesn't change. He said, I'm a God that doesn't change. He's the same. And the gifts that he gave back then are still for us today. And they're going to be for my grandchildren. And if God tarries, they'll be for my great-grandchildren. And if God tarries, they'll be for my great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. The gifts of God are for whosoever will. They were not done away with. They weren't your gifts, sir, to say they can't be given anymore. They were his gifts. And as long as he's giving them, then they can be received. And I thank God I met someone. I thank God I was introduced to the Christ who still gives his gifts. What is truth? Pilate said. Well, that's a story in itself. Jesus said, I am truth. I am the way. I am truth. Luke 12 and 49. Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? I look at that and I go, man, he's going to burn us all up. No, the Bible explains it. I'm so glad the Bible explains itself. In fact, can I give you a little wisdom? Don't ever believe anything from a man that you can't find explained in the book. Make sure it's in the book. I'm getting off track, but I'm closing, so I have a right to do it. I get nervous when a preacher stands up in the pulpit and reads a scripture and says, now let me explain to you what that really means. I'm going to tell you what it really means. It really means what it really says. That's what it really means. And if a preacher's going to explain scripture to you, he needs to explain scripture to you with scripture. Because the Bible says that the scripture is of no private interpretation. God didn't open your mind. He didn't open my mind. He didn't open the Pope's mind. He didn't open Billy Graham's mind. And he didn't open anybody else's. He opened the minds of the disciples. Luke chapter 24, verses 43 through 49. That's your homework and go read it. He opened the mind of the disciples that they might understand the scriptures. He divinely gave them understanding. You want to know what the scripture means when Jesus said something? Go read in the Bible and find out what the disciples did with what he said. And that's what he meant. We live in a world today where they twist all that up, and boy, I got off the subject. So let's pull this back in. Here we go. Pulling it back in where it belongs. So Jesus said, I have come to send fire on the earth. Book of Luke chapter 3 and verse number 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the and with. That's the fire he was talking about. Woo! And he said, I feel it kindling already. My Lord, have mercy. Why did he say that? Because the Lord said in John chapter 7, verse number 38, the Bible says a great feast was given and Christ stood up and cried out. And he said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit. No, that's the wrong verse. Thank you. If any man thirst, no, that's the wrong verse. No. That it? Yes, that's it. That's all right. I had to reset my computer. It takes a little while. I'm still on Windows XP. Takes a while to boot. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. And the word of the Lord says, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, wait a minute. The next verse says this, he spake of the Holy Ghost, which had not yet been given. Why? Because he had not yet been glorified. That's why when Jesus was talking, he said, I'm going to send the fire. I feel it kindling. In other words, I can't send it yet, but I feel it getting hot. I feel it coming. But after the death, burial, and the resurrection, the word of God says he gave gifts unto men. It's why he came. You want to know what Christmas is all about? It's receiving not a gift from your dad, not a gift from your brother, not a gift from your cousin, not a gift from someone else, but the gift of God, eternal life, his spirit coming into your heart. Oh, come on, somebody. I want everything the Lord has. Almost done. 2 Corinthians 15 and 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Look at the next verse, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But pastor, you don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. I'm telling you, the birth and the death of Christ is greater than any sin that you have ever committed or any life that you have ever lived. You say, but you don't know how long I lived this life. It doesn't matter. The birth and the death of Christ has the power. His birth brought the gifts. His death washed away your past. You bring them together. God will take care of your past. He'll give you the Holy Ghost, which will take care of your future if you'll receive the gift of God. Let's stand if you will. Simon Peter got up and he preached. You want to hear the gospel in a nutshell? Peter, Jesus walked with his disciples for 3.5 years. taught them all of these scriptures, even the scriptures I just read to you, all of these written down by his disciples, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Paul the Apostle, and the Pauline epistles, and then the other great men, Peter and John, wrote in the Word of the Lord. The books, all of the teachings of Christ compiled. And then right before he ascended up into heaven, the Bible tells us that he divinely opened up their understanding so they would understand all of these scriptures. Why? Because it was important to Christ, because he had brought gifts to men. But there was a way in which to receive those gifts. There was a method in which to receive those gifts. And Christ said, I want to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, but I can't yet because I'm still with you. He said, I'm with you, but I shall be in you. He says, it's expedient that I go away, that I might be able to send the gift of the Father back to you, that you might be able to receive this gift called the Holy Ghost. His disciples were departing from him, and the angel said, go and tarry in Jerusalem and wait until the promise that is upon high. What promise? The promise that Christ has been talking about, the promise that he illuminated your mind for you to understand this gift called the Holy Ghost. And the word of the Lord said that they, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, they went into the upper room, and there they tarried. They were there for 10 days, and then on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day after the feast, the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there was a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The power of God entered in to that room, and the word of the Lord says that it set upon each of them like cloven tongues of fire came upon them, and they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. It'll flow out of you like a river. And this he spake of the Holy Ghost. And so all of this was accumulated and pulled together and put down and crammed into that little fisherman's head called Simon Peter, because Christ gave him the keys. He staggered out of the upper room, and the Bible says, oh, they're all drunk. And he stood and said, no, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that spoken of the prophet Joel. God saith, in the last days I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, they shall prophesy, and your old men are going to have dreams, and your young men are going to have visions. And he said, this is what this is about. And then Simon Peter preached the birth of Christ. Then he preached the life of Christ. Then he preached the crucifixion of Christ. Then he preached the death of Christ. Then he preached the resurrection of Christ. And when they heard the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, they cried out and they said, what do we do? How do we get this gift? Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place today. And so Peter, book of Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37. Now when they be in the crowd, when they heard this, they were all pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, everyone say it. And be baptized every one of you in the name of, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of. But it was just for those back then. It was just for the apostles. It's not for us today. I'm sorry, what does verse number 39 say? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. I wonder, is God still calling? Is God still calling? Because if God's still calling, the gift's still falling. If God is still calling, then the gift of the Holy Ghost is still falling. Woo! And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And here it is. And they that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So you see, you can't enjoy the birth without celebrating the death. Because it's what it was all about. And in his death, he purchased my sins. The Bible says he became sin on the cross. I could see Mary at his feet. You know how moms are. Looking at her son. And no doubt her mind went back to when she held that little child in her arms. And when the wise men came and said, your child's going to do this, she pondered it in her heart. And when the angel came and said, your child's going to be this, she pondered it in her heart. And others came, and the Bible says she would take all of these sayings and she would put them deep into her heart. You see, she didn't quite understand everything, but now she looks upon the cross and she sees her son. She couldn't quite comprehend why God would allow him to be beaten like he was beaten, and all the things done to him that were done to him. Looking upon him, she sees the child. She holds him in her arms tight. She holds him close to her bosom. And in her mind, she says, how can this precious baby born to be the Savior of the world have been crucified upon the cross? But days later, in an upper room, the Bible says Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with them, and the power of the Holy Ghost swept into that room. The scriptures I just read to you, and the power of the Holy Ghost fell upon them, and Mary began to speak in tongues just like everybody else did. And all of a sudden, the connection of the birth to the death and all of the life in between came together, and revelation was brought forth. And now she understood what it was all about. And I'm here to tell you today, if you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, the gift of God is for you today. And when you receive the gift of God into your life and you are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, then you will truly understand the meaning of Christmas. Because the greatest gift ever given. Woo! Was the Spirit of our Christ. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take communion, then we're going to open up the altar after we receive communion. If you'll prepare your pull off the top, which will expose the wafer. And then we'll do the wine afterwards, the juice, and take that. So we're having communion, celebrating his birth. Because it's all one. And it brings understanding of the gift of God into your life. And after we partake of the communion music, if you'll prepare, Sister Bishop, just get ready. I am going to have you come, if you would, and some singers. I mean, you can come after we actually partake, but just prepare. I'll give you a moment to get in your place. And after we partake of communion, this altar is automatically going to be open. And what I say to the church is, let's come and truly celebrate Christmas by thanking him for coming and thanking him for dying for our sins. And if you're here today and you've known God all your life, I was religious all my life. I was raised in church. My mother drugged me to church, kicking and screaming and hollering. And when she could no longer go because of her physical condition, she forced us to go anyway. But it wasn't until I was 16 years old, almost 17, that I walked into a church that still believed in the outpouring of the gift. And God touched me like he had touched me 1,000 times before. And my heart began to break again. But this time when I lifted up my hands, there was a gift put into my spirit. And God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I believe the Lord has called you here today to hear this message, and
and the wonders of his word, to expose you to his spirit. And we partake of his broken body and his shed blood. If I'm asking for the church to come, but even our guests or members that haven't received the Holy Ghost yet and you might want to come, I believe the Lord wants to pour out the gift, because remember, it's this gift why he came. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says in verse number 23, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, of the words of Christ, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's partake of his broken body. And then peel back the second layer, if you haven't already done that, on your cup. And we're going to partake of the juice representing his blood. In verse number 25 of Corinthians 11, "And after the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the Lord's blood. I'm asking for the church to make our way down to the altar. I can't think of a better gift to give him than to come thank him for what he done for us. The word of the Lord says, "We have not because we ask not." And the Bible says that if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? How do I receive the Spirit of God, the gift of God? You just ask. Repent of our sins. We say, "Lord, forgive us of our sins, for they are many." And the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, he is just to forgive us of those sins. When you confess your sin, he will forgive you. You will feel his power on you. But so many people, this is as far as they go. They never experience anything beyond repentance. And repentance is a beautiful thing. It's an awesome thing to repent. It's an awesome thing to repent. "Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Have mercy." Why don't you say that to him? Have mercy. Have mercy. And when you've repented of your sin, just begin to ask him, "Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Give me your gift. Give me your gift." Don't beg him for it. You don't beg for gifts. Gifts are free. You thank people. "I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for your gift. I thank you for your spirit." And while you thank him, you're going to begin to feel the power of God touch you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Oh, I feel the gift of God in this place. I feel the true meaning of Christmas in this place. Power of God is moving amongst us. Oh, church, let's call out.